Welcome, dear listeners. I'm Jonathan Carlin.
And I'm Benjamin Carlin.
And we invite you to join us through the Gryffindor, your one-way ticket to the enchanting world of Harry Potter. So grab your wands and dust off your broomsticks and join us as we unlock the mysteries behind Prisoner of Azkaban, Chapter 18, Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, and Prongs, live in Seattle! Woo! Oh, man. I'm so excited to be kicking off the tour here, man.
Same. Man, you guys were proper loud.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done. Oh, my gosh. And I couldn't be more excited, about the chapter that we get. I think that there is an argument to be made that this is the best chapter in Prisoner of Azkaban.
You think so?
I think so.
I mean, what else do we got? Like, there's like three in a row here with Cat, Rat, Dog, Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot, Prongs, and then the Servant of Lord Voldemort. And they're all sort of like one big chapter.
It's
all like the Shrieking Shack time period.
The end of the book ends for a long, long time.
Yeah. Because it kind of ends a whole second time, you know?
Yeah. It ends twice.
Yeah.
Unlike, I always think it's the wackiest thing. I can never believe it that Philosopher's Stone starts. The last chapter starts with Harry walking into the chamber to discover it's Quirrell.
Yeah.
And then it ends, same chapter, with him back in London.
Oh, yeah. That chapter's crazy.
It's like, how?
Yeah. He, fights Quirrell, talks to Dumbledore, talks to Ron and Hermione, wins the House Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Travels home.
Yeah. One chapter.
It's also compact. Meanwhile, we've got, 120 pages of wrap up in Prisoner.
But Sirius being very vague and Lupin being like, explain it, but slowly and don't include the key parts.
Yeah. Don't give away too much too soon.
Yeah.
Because they have some flair for the dramatics.
Yeah. Ron's just standing there like, it's not my rat. What are you talking about? Yes. He's normal. You
know? We should have hired somebody to be our on stage Ron.
Yeah.
Who could just sit there and struggle with Scabbers
for
the next hour.
Right, because that's what's happening with Ron here.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So, but before we dive in, as ever, we got to talk about the chapter art.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, but speaking of vague, I am curious. I want to know, is this Lupin or Sirius?
I know.
Sirius?
You think it's... Dude, I think it's Lupin.
Okay, raise your hand if you think Lupin. Okay. Smattering.
Okay.
How about Sirius? Okay.
More.
It's both.
It's both. Yeah.
It's both.
It's just both. Yeah.
It's open to interpretation. It's art.
It's exactly. Yeah. It's hard to say. Because Lupin, he's not in dog form, or Sirius isn't in dog form at all in this chapter.
He's not.
Yeah, but Lupin is telling the whole story of him becoming a werewolf.
It's a very Lupin-centric chapter.
Yeah.
Which is why it's weird they put Sirius in the chapter line. It doesn't seem... I can't tell. This is another one of those where it's like, are the movies influencing me too much? Because when I think of a werewolf, I don't think of a wolf-looking creature necessarily.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bit more
No, I know. It's but I think in book canon, it is more because when they're talking after the OWLs, what's the difference? And it's if werewolves look like they look in the movie, it's not even close.
Yeah.
You know? What's the difference? What do you mean? One stands?
They don't look the same.
They don't look the same. Yeah. No one would have this problem.
Right. Yeah. What's the difference between a shark and a cheetah?
Exactly. Right. Yeah. What do you mean?
One's a shark.
I guess they both have teeth, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So that being said, though, yes, I think it's time to dive in because
we're
going to need every precious minute here.
I know. Okay. So coming out of the last chapter, the big reveal was that Scabbers is an animagus by the name of Peter Pettigrew.
Yes.
And then we're 1 second later into this chapter. So Harry and Ron and Hermione are both are all sitting there I don't know about that. And Ron speaks up and says, you're both mental. Which bold to say to Sirius Black.
Yeah,
who you believe to have murdered 13 people.
Right, yeah. Right. However, I think Hermione's retort is even more interesting because she just goes, ridiculous, said Hermione faintly. Is there's a piece of me that's is there a part of her in the back of her brain that's this is a boggart? Like ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
Go away.
I like it's ridiculous exclamation point, but faintly.
Yeah, but faintly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. It's like it's. I think at some point in time she's going to expecto patronum faintly as well. So, yeah. You know, and that one doesn't work either.
She's just losing her voice. You know.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. That's it. Hermione's just talked
she's got a
out.
Bit of a cough.
Yeah.
Just tired. Let's see. But Harry brings up Peter Pettigrew's dead. He killed him. And Black, Sirius, just not helping his own case. He's like, yes, I did mean to do that. Yeah, correct. I tried to. Yeah, but little Peter got the better of me, which is just like a nice little reminder. Like, don't underestimate Peter. Like, they will continue to do this, but like, he does bring Voldemort back, and he did get the better of Sirius.
I know. Yeah. I highlighted that as well, and I had some notes about it because I was like, it's odd to me. Like, the way that Sirius is described, it doesn't seem like there's a world where Peter gets the better of him.
I know.
Under any circumstances. However, I think in the wake of James and Lily's death, I think that there's a chance that he is just so like broken and distraught, which based on every account of Sirius in that situation, I think would back that theory.
Oh yeah.
Like I think he's just not well.
No, I don't think he is. I mean, he's laughing maniacally after Peter gets him. He's like, oh no,
you don't
I've
just,
been had.
You don't just laugh maniacally, you know.
No.
On a good day.
On a good day. Yeah. Not at all. Yeah. He's having a real bad day that day. Yeah. Let's see. So Black lunges at Scabbers again. Lupin holds him back. He says, wait, you can't just do it like that. They need to understand. We've got to explain slowly.
Yeah.
We can explain afterwards.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I highlighted that and I said, yes, very slowly. And cryptically, please.
Yeah. Despite Sirius, like his insistence that they do it quickly.
I know. Yeah. I know. Yes. Which honestly, I swear in the last chapter at some point in time, he like Sirius himself was like, you have a right to know what's going on. And like now I think he's just lost his cool.
Yeah,
and
he's
now
just,
he's like
he's in the room with me, man. He's like, that kid's not gonna hold on to that rat much longer. Like, come on.
He's losing grip.
I don't know that kid. I broke his leg earlier. I'm sorry. I dragged him for like half an hour under a tunnel, up some stairs.
Right.
Yeah.
That poor Ron kid's having a
Ron's having a rough day. Yeah.
Having a rough go of things.
Yeah.
But I like, I mean, there's kind of like an interesting piece of logic coming from Lupin here as well. He's like, they've got a right to know everything. And he follows up with, Ron's kept him as a pet. And Harry, you owe Harry the truth. And I'm like, okay. Between these two reasons, the Harry part is way more important.
Way more important.
Like, first of all, Ron had him as a pet. Second of all, your best friend / godson are in the room, and there was a whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
that is the part that seems to get to him, is that you owe Harry the suit, the truth. And he's like, okay.
All right, I'll simmer down.
In the middle of that, though, Lupin also says there are parts of it even I don't understand, which I like that he includes that here, because like Lupin at this point is like, that means he is vouching for Sirius without all of the information. Like, he's now operating on faith.
He is now operating on faith. I mean, it goes back to one of the very important moments in the last chapter where I think like there's an instance where Lupin is basically like, he is realizing in real time, like, unless you switched without telling me. And it's like, that's the moment for Lupin where it's like, Oh man, like the glass is shattering over his head.
Oh,
it's like,
makes so much more sense.
Now I understand what's going on. But so I think that's like, it is fascinating. It's like, that's enough for Lupin to be like, I believe you, Sirius, but I also, I have some holes to fill in.
Yeah, we're going to talk about some stuff here.
Yes.
Let's see. So Sirius stops struggling, and then we have Scabbers is clamped tightly into Ron's bitten, scratched, and bleeding hands, which I'm assuming is just continuing to happen, because like Peter is like, he knows he's cooked at this point.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not like, there's no way out. Like, I'm getting out of here.
Right, yeah. Right. There's a piece of me, I think, when Peter does eventually transform back into a person, where I'm like, can he hear everything that's going on? Like,
I think so.
Yeah. I think at some point in time, like, you know, Ron is more claw marks than man.
I know. Like, he's really holding on tight here. So good for him. But you know, this is, then here we go. Tell him whatever you like, but make it quick, Remus. I want to commit the murder I was imprisoned for. It's like, you're still not, dude. Like, come on, chill.
Take it down.
Tone it down.
Take it down.
Tone it down.
A few notches. Say again.
Does that include the 12 muggles too?
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Yeah, seriously. Yeah, he's like, yeah. I need to kill Peter and then like a dozen other people as well tonight. Just, I've got a busy night.
This isn't my first stop, okay? Yeah. And this is only my first stop.
Right, yes. But no, I do think that this instance in particular is kind of fascinating as well, because like the thing that I feel like Sirius has been overlooking the whole time is that Peter is proof of his innocence. So this is like Sirius's like hot-headedness
that
like also eventually leads to his, spoilers, death.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, it's interesting because like, you might be like, why would Sirius do that? Why would he go to the ministry eventually? It's like, because this is who he is.
Right, yeah.
You know, he's a hothead. He can't help it.
He can't help it. Absolutely. So I love Ron's response, though, to Sirius being like, I want to commit murder. He's like, all right, I've had enough, so I'm off. Yeah. Yeah. Like, he's both nutters.
He's that like SpongeBob meme that's like, all right, well, I think I'm going to head home now.
Like, well, and then it does, like, he actually tries to leave on his one leg. Like, he's just going to walk out carrying the rat. Well,
I don't need to be here. Like,
I don't think you need me. Yeah. I'm out, yeah. Let's see. So what does he say? You're going to hear me out, Ron. He said quietly, just keep hold tight of Peter. Like, yeah.
Okay. Not worry. That's right.
Ron, like at this point, I'm curious. If I'm Ron, I'm curious. I'm like, you know, he is defiant. He's not Peter. He's Scabbers. And I'm like, dude, your attachment to this rat is, you love this rat more than anyone's loved a rat ever. Okay.
Factually. And that rat happens to be the worst.
Yeah.
Not only is it weird that you love a rat this much, it's weird that you love this rat this much.
Yeah. Come on. Finally, Harry brings things back to the present. He says, there were witnesses who saw Pettigrew die. A whole street full of them. So here we go. Now we're going to start covering some bases here.
Yes, which I think this is like one of the things I definitely rake a chapter in Chamber of Secrets called Chamber of Secrets Across the Coals, because it's like way too much coincidence. It's way too much like weird circumstance that happens. This chapter is a masterclass of finding all the questions that everybody would have asked and then like putting dirt over them.
Right.
So it's like we're about to start to be like, okay, we got to ask all the questions so that other people don't ask the question.
Right.
In book. Yep.
Here we go.
So there are a bunch of people who saw Pettigrew die. A whole street full of them.
Yeah.
How do?
Let's see. Basically, everyone thought Sirius killed Peter, said Lupin. I believed it myself until I saw the map, because the Marauder's map never lies. They say that a lot. The map never lies. Yeah. But Peter's alive. Ron's holding him, Harry. So let's see. I love too that like he believed in himself. Like seeing the map is just enough for him, because he's still like 30 minutes into changing his opinion here. Like 45 minutes ago, he thought Sirius was a killer.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, okay, we're good. Let's see.
There's one line here that I think is kind of interesting, where it's sort of like, Black and Lupin were both out of their minds. Their story made no sense whatsoever. How could Scabbers be Peter Pettigrew? Azkaban must have unhinged Black after all. But why was Lupin playing along with him? So that's like a good line, because I feel like for first-time readers, you might think like, oh, I see. Lupin's like, he's like, Harry, wink, wink. Nudge, nudge.
Yeah.
We're really good at coded messages, aren't we, pal?
Right.
Like, I'm just going along with it.
Right.
But he's not.
But he's not. Yeah. No. Hermione finally speaks up, because she spotted like a classroom style problem, saying, you know, he can't be Pettigrew. It just can't be true. You know it can't. And Lupin's like, ah, a class. Let's teach a class real quick.
I imagine him having one of those like,
yeah, I know. He's like, excellent point, Hermione. I know. Sirius is back there like, are you teaching a class right now?
You are not teaching a class.
Bro, I'm trying to kill a rat. Like, come on. So, why can't it be true? Calmly. So I'm sorry, it says calmly, so it's probably more like, why can't it be true?
Oh, man. Nailed it.
Thank you. Lupin's being so patient here.
Okay, but then she answers, and this is another classic Hermione-ism, because people would know if Peter Pettigrew had been an Animagus. We did them in class with Professor McGonagall. I looked them up when I did my homework. The Ministry of Magic keeps tabs on witches and wizards who become animals. There's a register showing what animal they become and their markings and things. And then she goes and looks up Professor McGonagall, and there are only 7 Animagi this century, and Pettigrew's name wasn't on the list.
Yeah.
There's a line where Harry's just basically like, I know there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, but Hermione, your attention to detail.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Like way too much effort on homework we didn't have. Yeah. You know what?
No.
I didn't. No one asked us to do that.
No
one asked us to do that, and you're taking 4 extra classes. What are you doing?
Yes. Yeah.
But I guess it's a good thing she did, because then she knows that, or this is why her like problem with the situation.
Except for the fact that it's also like the thing that I feel like she's overlooking here is that she also just discovered that Sirius Black
is an Animagus. Yeah, I know.
And he wasn't on the list.
He wasn't on that list either.
But maybe Stubby Boardman was.
Maybe. Yeah.
Big quibbler reader.
Well, this is like another, like also, I think... even the other problem you could immediately spot with it is that like there's werewolf registration as well.
Yeah,
which like no one does because no one wants to be like I'm a werewolf. it's like a really bad system.
It was me. Yeah, it's a very bad system.
Yeah.
Because there are 7 apparently who actually followed through with the registration process.
Right, but we know of 4 that are unregistered, which means like. That, I mean...
More than 50% of people are not doing
this.
Yeah,
exactly. They're not doing it. So my immediate question, though, because the only ones... Most of the ones we know about are unregistered.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We got Sirius, Peter, James, and Rita.
Yes.
And then McGonagall followed the rules. Nerd.
Nerd.
Who were the other 6?
Yeah, for real.
I know. Like, why don't they come up ever... I tried to look this up. I was like, do we know who the other 6 are? Do they? Because I was like, I don't think we do. But there have been at least 5 other known registered Animagus who have popped up across the video games.
Okay.
By video games, I mean Hogwarts Mystery.
Okay. Oh gosh.
Doesn't I know?
Is this the one with Jacob?
Thing. Jacob Sibling.
Jacob Sibling.
Jacob Sibling. Jacob Sibling. Also one of the apparent registered ones.
Oh.
But I suppose depending on how you play the game, he could either be like a falcon or a frog or a something else. So
if you have the option of being a falcon and become a frog.
I don't know. And then there's also one in the Lego games, but I really don't feel like any of that counts.
I'm not counting it.
I don't count any of
I'm
it.
I'm not counting
it. Yeah,
part of me wants to believe that Trevor is, in fact, an Animagus.
That'd be great.
Yeah. It's like one of like Neville's family members who's like, I'm just trying to get back home.
<He's> like,
Trevor,
get away. So yeah, we don't know who the other 6 are that are registered. You'd also think like, I can't believe no other Death Eaters end up being an Animagus at some point.
I know.
Like unregistered, obviously, then.
Okay, here's a thought though, and I know that we have way more to talk about not this, but Bellatrix does kill that fox on the way to Spinner's End.
Yeah.
Which makes me believe that one of the other 6 must be a fox.
And it's like an Auror.
And it must
one
be
of the Aurors is a fox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess Kingsley's Animagus is a lynx, which would be like, I don't
or
know how.
Patronus.
Patronus. Yeah. What did I say? Animagus?
His Animagus,
Wow, look at me go.
Yeah. So that like conceivably like Bellatrix can't really tell the difference and it's just sort of like small cat-like animal.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, is she taking zoology?
She's like, in the
Muggle
dark.
Zoology?
In the dark, that fox could have been a lynx.
Could have been.
Right.
Could have been.
Maybe that'd be interesting.
But it was just a fox.
Yeah, it was just a fox.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of sad.
So maybe Kingsley is an Animagus who can turn into a lynx is what you're saying.
That's sort of what I'm saying.
Okay.
I mean, it stands to reason.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny? This is our Minister of Magic. He's sometimes a big cat. Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Pretty cool ears.
Lynxes look neat.
They do.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
He's got style.
Like me.
Yeah, just like me. I know because I'm a lynx. Oh, man. Through the Gryffindor is sponsored by Rocket Money. And look, I don't know about you guys, but keeping track of all of my different subscriptions is hard. Like, whether it's for work or for personal use, I have over like 10 different monthly subscriptions and then a handful of like annual and semi-annual ones to boot. And that's actually pared down from what it was. When I first started using Rocket Money, I was thrilled and also a little like dismayed to discover that I had plenty of subscriptions that we had no use for anymore, and I could quickly and easily cancel with just a few clicks in the app. But the ones that remain also still matter, because if you haven't noticed, prices seem to be going up lately, and Rocket Money is really great about letting me know whenever this happens. Like, have you ever signed up for something that's like $6, $5 for 6 months, and then after that it's like $20 every month? Yay, we didn't tell you, whoops. That's because Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so you can actually grow your savings. And what I really love is the dashboard. It's super easy to understand and just see all of these expenses neatly laid out in one spot. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Just cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/griffin. That's rocketmoney.com/griffin, rocketmoney.com/griffin. Through the Gryffindor is sponsored by Shopify. Y'all, when we started making content online, I remember the very first time someone left a comment asking where they could buy our merch. And it was a wild moment. Almost like seriously, a rite of passage. I was on like cloud nine until I realized I had to find a way to make that possible. But that is where Shopify steps in. Shopify makes it so easy to take that comment to heart and put like all of our first t-shirts online available for, you know, that one person that wanted it. But now, years later, we rely on Shopify every day and have a whole lineup of products from coffee to candles and, of course, t-shirts. And while we always love the comments letting us know what y'all want, Shopify also makes it easy to know what y'all are loving. So upgrade your business and get the same checkout we use with Shopify. You can sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/griffin, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/griffin to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/griffin.
That'd be so awesome. Let's see.
Okay, anyway. Well, yeah.
Anyway, the other thing about Animagus, though, is that you'd think it'd be limited to, like, mammals, but it's not. Like, you can become a mammal or a bird or an insect or a frog.
Or a dolphin.
Or a dolphin, you know.
Can you...
mammals again, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. But can you imagine if you transformed into a dolphin and you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm not anywhere near water.
Oh, that did not play. Like, it almost feels like the first time you do the transformation, you have like a bunch of stuff on hand.
Yeah, you're like, okay.
Well, it's like, we got the tank.
What if I'm a trout, you know?
Right, yeah, what if I'm a trout?
Yeah.
That'll be useful.
Yeah, at least dolphin, you still breathe, right?
For a while.
Yeah.
Not forever.
Not forever.
I mean, they breathe air, but not forever. Right? Dolphins?
They need to be in water, right?
Do we know of any...
dry out. Yeah, that's going to be the problem.
Yeah.
All right.
Am I correct in this? I feel like I got a couple of looks. I'm a little worried.
I don't know. This isn't Dolphin Club.
It's not. Any representatives from Dolphin Club?
Yeah.
No? Yeah, that's all right.
All right.
It's not an overlapping Venn diagram, so I'm all good.
I guess not, right? Yeah. There we go. Anyway, so Lupin reveals there used to be 3 unregistered Animagi running around Hogwarts. And Sirius just cuts in. That he really needs to hurry up. Get a move on, Remus. I've waited 12 years. I'm not going to wait much longer. But he will.
He's like, 12 years. It's like, you've waited such a long time. I'm sure you can handle a few more minutes. I've been holding Scabbers for 12 minutes.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. So he says that, and then this is it says there's a loud creak behind him, and the bedroom door had opened of its own accord. This is going to be Snape entering the room under the invisibility cloak.
Yes.
And everyone turns, so he says, Snape is so unstealthy. Everyone's like, huh?
I can't believe this doesn't like leave a trail in the dust either.
I know. So, yeah. Okay. So this, here's my thought though. I think that there's a chance that Lupin has him pegged. I think there's a chance Lupin knows that, Snape is in the room. Yes.
Oh.
I'll come back to
it. Okay.
However, keep that in the back of your mind. We think there's a chance. Well, I think there's a chance. I said we. I gathered all my friends here and I was like, we. They're with me on this.
Yeah.
Think this could be the case. So maybe Lupin knows.
Okay. What I love about this little, not only does it set up Snape being in the room for like the reveal later, but then it lets Ron say, this place is haunted, because this is just a good transition into Lupin being like, oh, excellent transition, Mr. Weasley. Would you believe it was me? How lucky for Sirius that Lupin was hired this year, the same year he escaped.
This worked out well.
Yeah. Like, Dumbledore didn't even plan this, you know.
I mean, half the Defense Against the Dark Arts professors are less than useless.
Yes.
Yeah. This is paying off well.
This is just tremendous timing on this part.
You did glide right over an important line. Oh. It's not, said Lupin, still looking at the door in a puzzled way.
He's still noodling on it.
He hasn't lost focus on the door.
Yeah.
So, again, we shall continue.
Okay, there we go. Lupin continues with a giant exposition dump here about his whole past, where he says, that's where all of this starts, with my becoming a werewolf. None of this could have happened if I hadn't been bitten, which is just like, I highlighted that because I was like, this is a great what if Lupin wasn't bitten video.
Right?
Right?
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine? I mean, because they always talk about how, like, Sirius and James were, like, the hotshots at school.
Yeah.
I love a world where unbitten Lupin, who doesn't have this, like, thing he's insecure about, is just, like, really cool.
Really cool, too. Yeah. Exactly. Like, he's just, like, dating Lily instead.
Whoa!
I know.
That's pretty
wild. That'd be so weird.
It would be.
That'd be Larry.
Larry Lupin.
Yeah, that's right. Larry Lupin.
That's a good. Andy. That's a good name.
That's a good name.
Do you think those books sell as well?
Larry Lupin. I don't think so. Oh man.
Okay.
Here we go. We'll
focus get back up.
Okay. Let's see. So, yeah, Ron is starting to interrupt. Now Hermione's just like shushing him. Like, shush, shush, shush. Yeah. Hold on. I'm listening. I'm taking notes.
Right.
Ron, you might be a quiz on this. So Lupin says, you know, I was a very small boy when I received the bite. My parents tried everything, but in those days, there was no cure, which, to be clear, there still isn't. But there is at least the potion Professor Snape has been making for me, for him, every week. It makes you safe. As long as you take it in the week preceding the full moon, he gets to keep his mind when he transforms, which I feel like is a really vague way to describe how often you have to take it. Like, every day leading up to the full moon? Like, for a week? Is this 7 days in a row?
I think it's 7 days in a row.
That's 25% of the time. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
This is a commitment.
This is a huge chore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It does say, for what it's worth, that when he does take it, he keeps his mind when he transforms, and he's able to curl up in his office as potentially... Hold on. I have an illustration.
Oh.
Potentially this harmless wolf.
Yeah, harmless wolf. Oh, so now you're on Team Lupin.
Well, you know. Yeah, okay. I mean, after Larry Lupin, everything changed.
Larry... Exactly. So it's curious to me that he's still actually staying in the castle. He's like, yeah, it's fine. I'll just sleep here. Like, in my office.
Right. Yeah. So, like,
not a danger.
You just, like, go open the door and you just see a wolf flying on
but
the
floor. But he's also, this is the other thing. Like, he misses, like, days of class at a time. Right? Right. So, like, how, like, why is he missing? Wouldn't he just miss one day?
For the full moon.
Because, like, yeah, wouldn't it just be at night, too? Like, why is he missing class for this?
It takes a lot out of
him. I guess so. So, well, here's the other thing. So I looked it up. I was like, how long does the full moon last? And if you were just outside, you could see the full moon for 3 days. Yeah. But, like, technically a full moon lasts, like, an instant.
An instant.
Right? Like the moment the moon is in the right position and then it moves.
So yeah. Maybe more of us are werewolves than we realize.
Right. And it's just
we just don't go out much.
Right. So, like, there's an argument that a full moon lasts an instant or that it lasts, like, 3 days. So
okay.
It's like, is it possible it's, like, 3 days in a row and that's why he's missing class?
I feel like I've always read it as if it's lasting, like, about a week-ish.
About, like, the whole transformation?
Like, yeah, I've always felt like he's in some measure of transformation for, like, ish a week.
Okay, so, because I was talking myself into the 3 days thing, but then, like, on this night... he will turn it into the wolf, and then the next day... well, I guess it's the daylight, maybe. Maybe, like, the next night he turns into it again.
Maybe so.
I guess he's, like... could he be going back and forth, like, for days at a time?
Or how much does it matter if it's, like, daylight or just, like, kind of, like, a shadowy spot?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Because, like, at this point, while they're talking, it's night, right? Like, yeah. Why isn't he transformed right now?
Right. Right.
No, like why... I don't understand this part either, because it's, like, why don't you just... like, stay inside. What? Yeah, when does that... how full does it have to be? Does it have to be hitting you? Could you stay in a dark room?
And more importantly, how long could a dolphin survive out of the water?
We don't know! So, the semantics of it don't seem like they're very super consistent.
No, no. Especially when we eventually meet Fenrir, who we okay. never... he's, like, exclusively...
yeah.
In human
but
form.
Then here's okay. So we're like talking ourselves out of it being just one night a week. But the very next sentence says, "Before the Wolfsbane potion was discovered, I became a fully fledged monster once a month." So once. That just sounds like once,
right? Like, once, but for how long?
Once a month for 3 days. Yeah, but after this night, he's human the next day.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So then we basically learned, yeah, that the tree was placed at the tunnel mouth to stop anybody coming across him while he was dangerous.
Yep.
You know, important thing. Yep. Hopefully nobody would ever take advantage of this particular situation, turn it into a sweet prank.
Yeah. Hopefully not.
Serious.
Yep. Oh, man. Yeah, there's a great moment with that later here. Not great. But.
It's a weird way to describe it.
Well, yeah. I'll get to it. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Okay, here. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. This is like a funny thing. He says, "I told you months ago the Whomping Girl is planted the year I came to Hogwarts. The truth is it was planted because I came to Hogwarts." This is just like a non-book thing, but a funny aside is that when they were making the Hogwarts Legacy game, they released a trailer and they had the Whomping Willow on the grounds, and all the fans were like,
"It is not there.
It is not there 100 years ago." And they were like, "Crap, that's right." And then I had to take it out of the game.
you know that there are some people who built some whole Whomping Willow quest who were like, "Ah, no."
Yeah. Someone was frustrated by that, but, you know, yeah. You got to do your homework.
I know.
I guess so.
You got to get it right.
Let's see. So the tunnel that leads to it, built for his use, let's see. He describes that the transformations were terrible, that it's super painful turning into a werewolf. And then all the villagers just think the screaming is, like, violent spirits. Dumbledore encouraged the rumor. And... like, even now, when the house has been silent for years, the villagers don't dare approach it, which is funny to me because it seems like it's mostly a tourist attraction now. So it's like, the villagers don't, but all the tourists, they're like, let's go see.
Let's go check it out. Right? Yeah. It's like one of the top four things, including the post office
yeah, right, yeah.
That you can and should do. Can't miss.
You're at Hogsmeade, you know, get it. Go check out those owls. Oh, well, let's see. But then I love this whole paragraph right here. It says, "For the first time ever, I had friends. Three great friends. Sirius Black, Peter Pettigrew, and of course, your father, Harry, James Potter." Oh, so nice. And then they're like, all gone in one night. That sucks. Because of each other.
Lupin has such a...
he's a bad... yeah.
He has a tough draw.
Tough draw.
Yeah.
But the Marauders, of course, work out the truth, just like Hermione does, and they don't desert him at all. They become Animagi. And this is where, like, Harry is just, like, trying so hard to figure out what animal his dad turns into, and no one will tell him.
Yeah.
He's like, "My dad, too?" Yeah. Anyway.
yeah, it's like, yes, indeed.
Yeah.
What else, man?
Yeah, come on. Let's see. So then we get some math here. It took them the better part of 3 years to work how to do it, right? So
This means in their, and then he says they figured it out in their fifth year. So they're working on this from year two to year five before they finally get to become Animagus. And so, oh man, I think I did bad math down here. This means, I think it means like if they figure it out in their fifth year, right, and they're at school for 10 months, right, out of the year, because it's just like a 2 month summer.
Yes.
Right? Okay. So, and if he turns into a werewolf once a month, that means there's like a total of 30 outings that they could have had.
Okay.
Right? It's, I mean, if they figured out like week, like September year five.
Right.
Right. That's, I mean, I guess that's a big number of adventures.
It's more Quidditch matches than Harry plays.
Oh my God, you're right. Yeah. You're right. James is having werewolf adventures more often than he's playing Quidditch games.
And he's famous for the Quidditch thing.
Yeah, right. No one figures this out except Snape.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. There we go. That's fun. That's good math there.
That is good. Yeah, that's it. I've never considered it before.
Right. Like, yeah.
But is that assumption one night per cycle?
That's assuming that it's a single night per month.
But if it's three nights,
that's like 90. That's like 90 trips out. How is no one figuring it out?
I know. Yeah. Yeah. The other Gryffindor boys in their year, or wait, no, if there's four of them, the other Gryffindor boy is like,
yeah, can you imagine?
Guys,
where is everyone? Everyone keeps. That'd be so sad if there's just one fifth Gryffindor boy.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, and you know who? Oh. Hmm? Would it be Frank Longbottom?
Oh, no. Him and Alice are just hanging out.
Yeah.
This is why they ended up together. He's like, I don't know. The boys, they're just gone.
They were always not here.
Right. I just thought they didn't like me. Yeah. Oh, man. So, anyway. So, that doesn't seem like this would help you. It says, they couldn't keep me company as humans, so they kept me company as animals. A werewolf is only a danger to people, to which I would argue they still were, even as animals. Right? Like, you guys are still, you're still people, though, right? Like, you can transform into animals, but like...
I know, yeah. That's like, it's like, what's the anatomy?
Yeah,
like,
right?
There, yeah.
Yeah. But I guess it works out. That counts as being an animal, and if you get bit as an animagus, you wouldn't be turned into a werewolf. So, okay. Sure.
Right. Sure. Why not?
I believe it.
Because this is also kind of interesting, because it's like, apparently under the influence, like, which also kind of makes you feel like maybe people aren't doing enough like werewolf research in general, because it's like it. Because he's able to go and hang with his best friend, a deer and a dog.
Yeah.
He basically becomes less dangerous.
Yeah.
His body is still wolfish. But his mind seemed to become less so while he was with him, which is almost just like what they're doing is giving the effects of the wolfbane potion.
Of the wolfbane potion.
And is this not exactly how it was described?
That's like, pretty much what it's described as. It seems like what the wolfbane potion is doing is like brewing friendship, you know?
And Snape can do it.
Snape can do it. If only he could drink
it. Not very well.
Not very well. Yeah, he's not drinking that potion. Nope. Yeah, Snape's the only one who could brew friendship.
Right. The other thing I also think is interesting about this is that it's like, apparently under their influence, he becomes less dangerous. However, in about 30 minutes, he's going to go outside. He's going to transform into a werewolf. One of his best buddies is going to be right there.
Yeah, Sirius is going to be there.
And it's not going to help at all.
Not going to help at all. Heck, Peter will be there too.
Yeah.
Two of them are there.
Maybe you need a complete set.
Maybe it's really... Maybe James is doing the lion's share of the...
Yeah.
Sirius is over there like, say, hey, Remus, go bite that guy. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. It'd be hilarious. They're going to...
Yeah,
there's
it says,
a line down here. Yeah.
Right. Soon we were leaving the Shrieking Shack and roaming the school grounds and the village by night.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. Roaming the village.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah, I guess Sirius and James transfer to such large animals they're able to keep a werewolf in check. Okay. Yeah. I would love to see a deer and a wolf fight. But, yeah. Yeah. That seems like, yeah, anyway. Then we get to learn about their
Their nicknames.
Their nicknames. Sirius is Padfoot, Peter is Wormtail, James is Prongs. Basically, the only clue you get that James was turning into a stag.
Which, Prongs, yeah, which, Prongs is vague.
Yeah, Prongs is the vaguest.
I don't hear Prongs and necessarily think stag.
No. I'm like, fork? Yeah.
A fork. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Harry is just like, hey, let's circle back. What sort of animal? And Hermione's like, shut up, Harry. That was really dangerous.
That literally happened.
That's what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, Harry, not now.
Yeah, not now. We got more important things. So she says that was really dangerous, trying to ground the dark with a werewolf. What if you'd given the others a slip and bitten somebody? And Lupin's like, yep. It's a thought that's still, that's a good point.
That was the concern.
I do feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is even worse, though. He says, and there were near misses. Many of them. Which, like many?
Many.
Many sounds like more than a few.
Many? You
know? Many sounds like more than one.
Yeah.
You know? Like, one accidental whoop, like, oh, well, that was close, guys. Maybe we should not go to the village at night. And they're like, nah. It's... Who can't, you know what? No one got bit. It's fine.
Who are these potential possible many victims as well?
Right.
Who are not snitching?
I know. Like, there's got to, like, many. That means, like, there's many people around Hogsmeade that's like, man, I, like, you would not believe what almost happened to me last night. There was a werewolf, a dog, and a deer in the middle of the road. And the wolf almost bit me, but...
But
it didn't. It didn't.
There may have been a rat.
Yeah, there might have been a rat. I don't know. But, like, many people have that story.
Yeah.
And no one's trading the story around. No one's figuring it out.
Oh, my gosh. But this is another one of those instances where, I mean, the first question is, what if you've bitten somebody? And that's one of those questions that has to be asked.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, we got to figure out, what does that mean? But it also sets up the situation for explaining away or why all throughout the year Lupin never told Dumbledore about Sirius being an Animagus. Because that does become one of the really big questions very quickly. It's like, hey, Lupin.
Yeah.
He broke in twice.
Yeah.
That's many times.
That's many. It's a Dumbledore, that's a couple times. Not many. This is a fluke, man. That could just happen.
I have two nickels.
Oh, man. So, yeah, he's like, Lupin feels guilty about betraying Dumbledore's trust. Pretty rightfully so.
Yeah.
But he always managed to forget his guilty feelings every time we sat down to plan next month's adventure, and I haven't changed.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you're right, is the reason he still hasn't told Dumbledore. But it's like, he all this year, wondering whether I should tell Dumbledore was here as an Animagus, but I didn't do it. Why? Because I was too cowardly. It would have meant admitting that I betrayed your trust while I was at school, admitting I let the others along with me, and Dumbledore's trust has meant everything to me. Just like, this is, I mean, it has to, because otherwise it's like, it kind of feels like maybe you still should have told him. Like, Sirius Black, like, broke into Harry's room.
Right? With a knife.
He's like, but then he'll know. He'll know.
Especially, right. Yeah, it's like, because, I mean, and I understand, like, Lupin has had a hard go, but literally in, like, two chapters, when the world finds out that he's a werewolf, he's going to quit this job anyway.
Yeah.
Willingly.
Right.
So it's like, maybe this was the moment.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, Dumbledore, I got to level with you, man. There's some stuff you need to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he doesn't do that.
Doesn't do that.
No.
Well, because his other reason, this is almost better, is that he convinced himself Sirius is using, like, dark arts he learned from Voldemort. Which, also, worth noting, Lupin says his name, which almost no one does.
Good point.
Yeah.
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 I was like, his name.
Voldemort's name. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The one we're not supposed to
that
say.
Guy, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's so funny that all of the wizards are afraid to say Voldemort, and all of us muggles are like, I don't care.
What's going to happen?
What's going to happen?
We'll be fine.
Yeah.
But here we go. Here's an interesting one. So, yeah, he says he thought that Sirius was getting to the school using dark arts. So, in a way, Snape's been right about me all along. Snape, said Black harshly, yes, taking his eye off Scabbers for the first time in minutes and looking up at Lupin. What's Snape got to do with it? And yeah, what's the next line, Jay? You could read it for me.
He's here, Sirius. Oh, I see. He's here, Sirius.
He's here.
He's here. He's here. Like,
here.
Here. Over here. This is the line I was talking about earlier too, when I was like, there's a good line about this. Because the entire chapter, like, no matter what Lupin is telling, he's like, reliving the glory days, I became a werewolf, and a magus, Pettigrew's alive, and Sirius is just like, get to the point, Lupin. Like, come on. And he mentions Snape once and he's like, hold on.
Snape?
He's like, I've been trying to kill this guy for 12 years, but what, you said Snape? Come again. The very mention of this guy, who he must not have even thought about in like 13, like 12, like he has no reason to think about Snape.
No.
In Azkaban, and he's like, Holt.
Snape?
Snape.
He's like, James isn't here, Lupin.
James isn't here.
We can run the experiment again.
Yeah.
He's like, let's go get him. I know.
Like, it's like his disdain for Snape is so great that it distracts him from Peter.
From Peter.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He hates
him. He hates him. Like, that is crazy. He's like, what on earth are you even bringing him up? And he's like, oh, he teaches here, dude. Yeah. He's like, and guess what? He saw the map.
It was so good.
It happened.
I was there.
I was there.
You were there?
Oh, man.
Years of planning. Yeah. But so here's the thing. Basically, we learned that Professor Snape was at school with us. He fought very hard against my appointment to the Defense Against the Dark Arts job. He's been telling Dumbledore all year that I'm not to be trusted. He has his reasons, you see. Sirius here played a trick on him, which nearly killed him. A trick which involved me. Mm-hmm. And Black made a derisive noise. It served him right. Sneaking around, trying to find out what we were up to, hoping he could get us expelled. And I was like, Sirius, I love you, man, but this is flimsy at best. Like, you're gonna kill him?
Like, oh, what were we doing? Almost turning people into werewolves? Who cares? What's the big deal? Oh, man. Yeah. So obviously, Sirius, even now, he's like, I have no regrets. What are you talking about? Almost died.
I'd do it again, too.
I'd do it again. Heck, if I had the opportunity to get Snape in a room with a werewolf in the Shrieking Shack, I'd do it.
If only he was here right now.
If he was here right now.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Exactly.
Werewolf versus vampire.
Right? Right? Suddenly Lupin and Lily. Not seeming so weird. Larry Potter meant to be Larry Lupin.
We're getting it.
Yep.
But yeah, so he says, Severus was very interested in where I went every month. Lupin told Harry, Ron, Hermione. We were in the same year, you know, and we didn't like each other very much.
Oh, man, yeah. And then here's some giant misdirect right here. He says,
giant.
He especially disliked James. Jealous, I think, of... What? What was he jealous of?
What was he jealous of? What could it be?
What could it be? Talent on the Quidditch field. Talent on the Quidditch field.
That's got to be
Snape
it.
Snape was so... He
natural-born athlete.
Natural-born athlete, Snape. You know, he's never quite up to James's level, but...
You know what was weird? He was always hanging out with James's girlfriend, though.
Yeah.
You know?
It was weird.
It was odd.
How thick were they, man? Jealous, I think. Like, this could have solved the whole mystery right now. Jealous, I think, of Lily.
Lily.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nope, that's not what he says.
But yeah, so then what we learned basically is that if they tried to do the Whomping Willow idea, if he had gotten as far as this house, he would have met a fully grown werewolf. But your father, who'd heard what Sirius had done, went after Snape and pulled him back at great risk to his life. To which I was like, this has to be before he could transform then, right?
Well,
like, because otherwise, James hangs out with werewolf Lupin. All the time. How is it great risk to James's life?
Right, exactly.
I mean, he's fine.
Also,
on purpose.
I know. This also, you're right, it feels like it has to be before they could transform, because otherwise why would Lupin be by himself transforming? You know?
Say again?
Like, Snape goes in there and he sees Lupin transformed.
Right.
But if they could transform, they'd just be there too.
True.
Right. Like, they, you know, you're right. This must be pre-year five.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. In which case, it would be significant risk for James to also be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Or because he could be exposing himself to Lupin as well.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so then we have this whole backstory, basically, where I think Lupin is kind of like eating crow in this situation. He's basically explaining, like, we messed up.
Yeah.
We shouldn't have done this. Mm-hmm. Sirius shouldn't have done this. Yeah. I was a victim of different circumstances, but Sirius.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Sirius is in the corner like, I'd do it again.
He like flips a coin, you know, like got a toothpick in his mouth. Yeah. Like, it was a good plan.
Yeah, it was a good plan. Yeah. It was a good plan. You know, James is a nice guy. Too nice, some would say.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So then Harry rounds it off for us. He says, so that's why Snape doesn't like you. Because he thought you were in on the joke. And to me, that is what I think Lupin is attempting to do in this situation. I think he's attempting to tell the story. He's not protecting himself here. He's not, I mean, he's coming clean on all of the information.
Yeah.
So that's why I think Lupin has read the situation correctly. And this whole time, this whole dialogue he's doing is to try to be like, see, Snape, I get it.
Right. We messed up. I wasn't in on it.
Right.
I didn't even know.
Right.
Right.
So like, I think
we're all sorry.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't even know you're here. We're just apologizing to no one.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Exactly.
We don't even know you're here. We're trying to see your perspective.
Right. Trail of things. Dust on the floor that leads to the corridor. Hope you're listening over there.
However, as much as Snape is listening, it doesn't seem like Lupin's plan worked.
It doesn't seem like, despite what he's hearing, he's not really listening.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah. That's right, sneered a cold voice from the wall behind Lupin. Severus Snape was pulling off the invisibility cloak, his wand pointing directly at Lupin.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Boom, boom, boom.
End of chapter.
End of chapter. Bam. We did it.
Howdy. Man.
I know. Well, that was a fun one.
That is a fun one. Yeah. What did you guys think? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Normally, this is where we would try and read a review, but I didn't look one up. So, I don't know. If you guys could let us know how we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we make some noise?
Right.
Yeah. There we go. If it's okay with y'all, we're going to count that as a 5-star.
Yeah. That was a 5-star, right? For
sure. But then, yeah, Jay, do you want to close us out real quick? You still have more work to do.
Yeah, I guess I do. Hold on. I'm taking the microphone off too early here.
You messed with it. We all knew you would eventually.
They're so fun to touch. Here we go. I highlighted something later in the book. All right, let's see. Okay, so yeah, we'll close out the podcast here.
There we go. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. I hope everyone enjoyed that episode. Make sure you tune in next week for Chapter 19, The Servant of Lord Voldemort, here on Through the Gryffindor.
Right. Boom. And done.
Today's episode was edited by Ethan Edgehill. Vaishon Brandon does our art. Catherine Stein is our production manager, and the show is hosted by me and Jonathan Carlin.